Okay, James chapter number 3 is where we're going to be this morning. If you're here this morning and you need a Bible, go ahead and lift up your hand and we'll be happy to provide a Bible for you today. We want to make sure that everybody has a Bible that wants one. So if you don't have a Bible, this is our gift to you. Go ahead and lift up your hand. If you just forgot your Bible today, just one of those mornings, you can borrow a Bible and then you can set it back on the bookcase as you leave this morning. John, can you grab those lights for me? And so go ahead. We're going to start in James chapter number 3 this morning. Before we dive into the message, just a couple quick things I wanted to share. Number one, 6 weeks ago today, we entered into a pretty serious conversation with our church membership about the financial realities that we are facing in this new facility. This is our 5-month anniversary, by the way. So 5 months ago today is when we had our very first service in this building. So it's pretty amazing to see all that God has done in that 5-month time period. But one of the things that we soon discovered is that there was a lot involved in upkeep and taking care of the needs for this building. And so 6 weeks ago, we had a very candid conversation with our membership at our church's annual praise meeting. And then the following Sunday, the Sunday after Thanksgiving, I shared a message that just spoke to the heart of the issue of giving and tithing and just the needs that and the way that God funds his ministry and takes care of his ministry. And then we followed that up with a letter. And so that was just kind of the effort to inform people and let people know kind of what was happening. And in the midst of our prayers, in the midst of our pleas, we believe it's really important to also give God praise for when awesome, amazing things show up. And so you can see in your bulletin this morning that we have a monthly budget need of $25,000. And in the month of December, we brought in $65,000. So number one, praise to God. Praise to the Lord. And number two, you know, thank you to all of those who are investing in the kingdom work that's happening in your adventure. So, you know, we wouldn't normally take the time to highlight the offering for a month. But like I said, it was such a concerted effort as we were making this need aware to our congregation. Thank you so much for your support and thank you for your prayers. And let's just keep on keeping on in 2016, looking forward to what God has in store for us. Number two, just wanted to ask your prayers for me. Right after the service this morning, I'm going to be heading to Reno. Windfall for the church, like double or nothing. No, nothing like that. Nothing like that. I promise. There's a dear friend of ours. You know, I'm part of a church planning network of a number of guys in different parts of, you know, different parts of California. There's one guy in Reno going through a very, very difficult time, And I was asked to go along with our church planning director to go up for a couple days to just encourage him, support him, be there for him and his family. So as we're kind of, you know, basking in the goodness of God's grace and blessing and just, you know, it's just, you know, awesome the things that are happening, let's be mindful that there are other churches and ministries and pastors that are struggling and going through difficult times. And so I would ask first off your prayers for him and for that ministry, him and his family and the church that he pastors, and then too just for me and Andrew and just safety and travel, and that God would just give us the words to support and encourage in a way that would be pleasing to him. So I'll be off the grid for a few days as a head up there this afternoon. So just would greatly appreciate your prayers as I head up there today. Okay, James chapter number 3. So we're continuing our series. This is our Life According to Jim series. And so this is a series that we started several weeks ago, months ago now, going verse by verse through the book of James. And so as we were thinking about this message and thinking about actually this Sunday, first Sunday of the year, and there's lots of, you know, new series and messages designed around the New Year's holiday and you know, starting out a new year. And as I was thinking about that and thinking in terms of where we are in the book of James right now, talking about the subject of wisdom and true wisdom, I got to thinking, you know, that really does speak to the heart of everything we might face in 2016. As we think about our year to come, it's God, give us the wisdom that we need to make the choices that we need to make, to make the decisions that we need to make. As life happens to us, as we go through life, as we are on this journey, as we're on this adventure together, and things happen, you know, physically, socially, financially, whatever the case might be, God, give us a sense of your wisdom as we go through that. So I'm excited about this morning, glad that you're here, and if you're feeling like, wow, I'm like halfway through the series, that's okay, just join on. Join in with us. We'll pick up right here in chapter number 3 and excited about what we're going to share this morning on the subject of wisdom. Now, that's not to say That's not to say that I'm like anti-New Year's resolution. If you've made New Year's resolutions this year, you know, God bless you, you know, and I hope that you'll be successful in those resolutions. Sometimes resolutions are a struggle because sometimes they look like this. Check out this video. Oh, man. Can anybody identify with those resolutions? Yeah? Can I get an amen? All right. Yeah, funny. I remember first looking at that and thinking, 2014, like, that's the wrong. I'm like, no, that's actually perfect. That's the perfect way of describing New Year's resolutions. So talking about wisdom and making sure that we understand the difference. There's a difference between knowledge and wisdom. And as we look through the book of James, one of the great truths, one of the great themes of the book of James is putting into practice what we've learned, putting into practice our faith, making sure that it's a visible, demonstrable thing that people can see and witness and can impact other people. It's not just something that, you know, fills our head. You know, we're not about knowledge. We're not about just, you know, feeling good about ourselves because we know so much, we have so much information at our fingertips. It's about putting that knowledge into practice. That's so very important. A couple of definitions as relates to wisdom. O.S. Hawkins defines wisdom as the ability to take facts and put them into action at the point of need. Okay, so there's a need, here's the facts, put them into action. H.B. Smith described it this way: wisdom is that attribute of God whereby he produces the best possible results with the best possible means. So it cannot be just about knowledge. We cannot be a people that are just obsessed and consumed with filling our heads with knowledge and knowing more than other people. It's got to be about wisdom. And whenever I think about that, I think of this story of four people that were in a plane that was going down. There's the pilot in the plane, the pilot of the plane. There's a computer expert. So no offense to any of the IT guys that are in the crowd this morning. Computer expert, a pastor, and a small boy. Okay, so there's four people in the plane, but there's only three parachutes as the plane is going down. The pilot comes out into the cabin and is like, you know, I've got a wife, I've got small children, I'm needed, I've got to take one of these parachutes, I've got to go. And so he takes one of the parachutes, jumps out of the plane. The computer guy, he's like, I'm one of the smartest people in the world, the world can't live without me, I've got to be a part of society, I'm taking one. He takes one, he jumps out of the plane. So now there's one. So the pastor looks at the young boy, and the pastor says, you know, son, I've lived my life. I've lived a full life. I'm ready to meet the Lord. You're young. You've got your entire life ahead of you. You take the parachute. You jump out of the plane. Save yourself. And the young boy looked at the pastor and said, it's okay, pastor. The smartest man in the world just jumped out of the plane with my backpack. We're good. We're covered. Okay? It's not about just what you know. It's not about filling our heads with knowledge. It's being able to put that knowledge into a place that makes a difference. In that case, survival. Okay? So as we look at these verses, James chapter 3, let me just read them for you here, verses 13 through 18. And you can see this is part one. This is part one of this message. So That's not, you know, an intentional tease for next week, but I do hope you'll come next week and get the back half of this message. The Bible says this: who is wise and understanding among you, by his good conduct let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. So, man, boom, there it is. I mean, we just see that theme time and time and time again throughout the book of James. Verse 14, but if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder in every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. So the Bible's saying that true wisdom comes from God. That's where true wisdom comes from. But you notice in this text, there's this inclination toward contrast. So there's a wisdom that comes from above, and there's this wisdom that comes from below. There's this wisdom that comes from beneath. There's two separate places where this comes from. And James seeks to differentiate the wisdom of the world and then the wisdom from the Word. And so today we're going to talk about the wisdom of the world, and then next week we're going to talk about the wisdom from the Word. Two different kinds. Now, I want you to check out this verse. I mean, the Bible is full of encouragement. The Bible is full of blessing. The Bible is full of teaching and precepts and principles that we can live by and abide by. But every once in a while, a verse of Scripture will pop out, and it'll just, man, it'll really make me, you know, stand up and take notice, and quite frankly, a little scary. Check out this verse in Proverbs chapter 14. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. That is a scary verse, because what that verse teaches is we can fool ourselves into thinking that a course of action is the right course of action. We can manipulate our understanding. We can manipulate the circumstance. We can manipulate the attitudes or the emotions around a situation and think we're going in the right direction. But the Bible says that direction is a direction toward death, toward devastation, toward destruction, toward ruin. So we've got to be careful as we think about this matter of wisdom, as we think about what we use to filter the life scenarios that come our way. What are we gonna use as we go throughout 2016 and think about the different situations that are gonna come our way? What is the filter that we're going to use to best interpret those things so that we can make the right decision, so we can make the right choice that is gonna be for our good and for God's glory? That's what we want to talk about today. True wisdom comes as we rely upon the Lord and His Word, not our own selfish thoughts and ambitions and desires. True wisdom comes as we rely upon the Lord and His Word, and that's what we're going to focus on next week, not our own selfish thoughts and desires, which is a lot of what we're going to talk about this week. So, you know, if you leave there like, man, that was kind of a downer, you know, today. It's kind of negative, all right? You got to get it in its context, all right? This is part one of two parts, okay? So let's talk today, first off, the wisdom of the world, okay? There's a wisdom from above, and there's a wisdom that is not from above. There's a wisdom from below. Let's take a look at it. First off, its origin, okay? Its origin. It comes from, first off, the secular. This is not wisdom that comes down from above, but is a kind of wisdom that is, number one, earthly. Earthly, okay? It involves the things of this world. It asks this question: well, what is everyone else doing? When we're confronted with a choice, when we're confronted with a decision, and our minds gravitate toward this question: well, what are my friends doing? What are my coworkers doing? What are the people in my age group doing? We've got to be careful that we not filter those decisions and we not filter those choices through the things of this world, because the things of this world are never going to satisfy. And the things of this world are fleeting. The things of this world are temporary. The things of this world are not that which is going to see us through to the finish line. And we spend so much time, even as believers, filtering our choices and decisions based on how it fits the paradigm, how it fits the structure of this world and this world system that is against God and against God's principles. We got to be careful about that. That's not where true wisdom lies. It does not come from the secular. That's the wisdom of the world. Number two, notice, it comes from the sensual, the unspiritual. That's what the word is referring to there. But is earthly, unspiritual. Talks about those things that are common. In Jude 19, we read these words, "These they be who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit." In first century Greece, the word sensual or psyche meant sensual physical life, that which sees, hears, smells, and touches. So this is the kind of wisdom, this is the kind of perspective, this is the kind of filter that says, if it feels good, what do? I do it. I mean, if it makes sense to me, if I can understand, if I can touch it, if I can feel it, if I can taste it, if I can hear it, if I can see it, then I'm going to act. Then I'm going to do it. And there's no faith. There's no faith involved at that point. It's something that's based strictly, and so we're not talking sensual in the sense of, you know, sensuality. We're talking about the senses. You know, we're basing our decisions, we're basing our choices on the senses and what we see and what we perceive, and we've got to be careful about that. How many of you have seen the movie Fireproof? All right, several of you. Good. So this is a Christian film that came out several years ago. If you haven't seen it, I certainly encourage you to check it out sometime. It's a great, great film. And there's a scene in this movie where one of the characters is talking to another character, and he's talking about the dangers of following your heart. Because our hearts are wicked. Our hearts are deceitful. Our hearts are sinful. Our hearts will take us places that we would not normally go. And the character says, don't follow your heart, lead your heart. I love that. I love that line. Don't follow your heart, lead your heart. But that goes so counter to what we hear and what we see and what we understand and what we perceive from society today. It's all about if it makes sense to me, if it feels, it feels so right. It totally goes against God's scripture, but it feels so right, so I'm going to do it. That's not the wisdom from above. That's the wisdom from below. That's the wisdom of this world, and that is not where God wants us to be. Be careful about that being your filter. And then lastly, you'll notice here, you know, very unabashedly, but it's earthly, unspiritual, demonic, satanic. Now, that's not a word that we talk a lot about. It's not a word that we would just throw in glibly into a message, into a sermon, but it's right there in black and white. This kind of thought process, this kind of filter is generated in a way that is not good. That is not good. And it comes from a spiritual realm that is real. Now, we don't often talk about it. We sometimes don't like to, you know, talk about the fact that there are angels and there are demons and there's a spirit world and there's principalities and there's powers. But I'm here to tell you, it is real. Spiritual warfare is real. The spiritual battle is real. Satan is real. His demons are real. And they want to seek and to destroy every person in this room. They want to destroy your marriage. They want to destroy this church. They want to destroy our leadership. They want to destroy everything that is good and right in your life. So, man, we need to be in prayer. We need to be in prayer for each other. We need to be in prayer for, you know, dads, you need to be praying for your families. Wives, you need to be praying for your husbands. You need to be praying for your church. You need to be praying for your leaders. We need to be praying for each other because there is a spiritual battle that's going on. There's a spiritual battle that's taking place. And if we don't have the right kind of filter, it's going to open up this huge Pandora's box of spiritual warfare and spiritual battle that we, if we're not in the right place, is going to bring us great harm. Now, he can't destroy you. Praise the Lord. When you're his, you're his. And greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. Amen? We claim that promise. But man, he will do everything he can do to mess you up and get your eyes off of the prize and get your eyes off of the king and get your eyes on yourself and your world and your stuff and your senses. That is not where true wisdom comes from. It is not where true wisdom comes from. We need to be on guard against that. Notice its outcome. Where does this lead? If we decide to have this kind of filter, if we decide to have a filter that is all about what we see in this world and what all about our senses and even it, you know, in the demonic, what does it result in? Well, notice first off, contention. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, jealousy and selfish ambition. The picture there literally is one to boil or to bubble over. You see that picture there? You know, it boils or bubbles over. There's contention. There's strife. There's jealousy. There's conflict. It does not lead to a good place. If you've got the wrong filter, it's going to lead you to this place. We need to be on guard. We need to be careful about that. It was envy that caused Cain to rise up and kill Abel. It was envy that caused Joseph's brothers to sell him to the Ishmaelites. That selfish ambition, that strife. The word there, strife, literally means those who seek their own gain. It was a word, you'll find this fascinating here in political season. It was a word that the Greeks used to describe a politician who was canvassing and scheming for votes. Caused strife. Contention, selfish ambition. That's what the result of this kind of wisdom is. You don't want to go there. It results also, secondly, in confusion. There will be disorder. Disorder. God is not the author of confusion. 1 Corinthians 14:33. God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. This type of worldly wisdom results not only in contention, but confusion. You go all the way back to the garden, all the way back to the Garden of Eden. You see those first temptations, those first attacks from the enemy. You know, did God really say? Causing doubt, causing confusion. And so many times in life, we're confronted with circumstances, we're confronted with situations, and we're so confused as to what to do. It's because we don't have the true wisdom. We're allowing our lives to be governed and filtered by the secular, by the sensual, and even sometimes the satanic. It results in confusion. That's not where God wants you to be. God doesn't want you to be in a place of confusion, a place of instability, a place of disorder. And then lastly, notice, results in corruption. And every vile practice. Have you ever been someplace and a place in life and you thought, how did I get here? I never thought I would speak this way. I never thought I would do these things. I never thought I would go to those places. I never thought I would watch those things. And now my life is just full of all this vile, evil practices in my life. How did I get here? You had the wrong filter. And as you were making those choices and decisions, as life came your way, it opened you up and you found yourself in that place. I was thinking about this earlier, so I looked it up between the services because I wanted to make sure I got it right. You've probably heard this quote before. Sin, it will take you farther than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay. Heard that before? Powerful. Sin will take you farther than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay. How did I get here? What am I doing? We had the wrong filter. We were filtering life through wisdom from below, the wisdom of the world, not the wisdom from above. True wisdom comes as we rely upon the Lord and His Word, not our own selfish thoughts and desires. We need to have the right filter for the choices and decisions that you will face this year. Now, I've talked a lot in this message this morning about filters. So let me close with this. Everybody knows what a filter is? Here's a picture of a filter. Everybody knows what a filter is? Okay. I didn't know what a filter was. And so I'm going to close with an illustration that really makes me look bad. I don't come out good in this story, but it so illustrates the point that I want to share it with you. So at my own detriment, I'm going to share this story with you. So I grew up in a single-parent home, most of you know that, and I didn't have a dad in the home, and so there are lots of things that I don't, like, understand or get. Like, you know, I don't know how to work on cars, I don't, like, shoot guns, which my son being a Marine just, like, cracks me up, you know, because he's, like, obsessed with guns, and I'm like, I shot a .22 rifle once in junior high camp, and that's, like, the extent of my, you know, that's the extent of my weaponry training. You know, don't hunt or fish or, you know, things like that. I wouldn't know the first thing to do. I'm not like a guy's guy, and I'm not saying that, you know, if you're a lady and you enjoy those things, that's, you know, whatever. But and one of the consequences of that is I don't know anything about home repair. I don't know anything about home maintenance. Like, nothing. So we grew up, you know, after mom and dad got divorced, we lived in apartments like my whole life. And so with apartments, you don't have to ever mess with like home maintenance and home repair. And so I don't know much about how these things work. And so about, you know, 6-8 months ago or so, I was having a conversation with some friends, and we were talking about how, like RPG&E is just crazy. Like, I mean, just super, I mean, hundreds and hundreds of dollars, and that's just keeping our house at, like, 79 degrees. I mean, it's not like our house, we keep our house, like, super cool. Like, it just was a problem. And so the hero of the story is Roger Jost. So Roger is the hero of the story. So I'm glad you're here, so you can take your bow. So Roger's like, let me help you with that, Pat. You know, poor pastor. You know, let me come over and help you. Let's try to figure out like what's going on with your thing. So he comes over to the house and he's like, so where's your air filter? And I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. Like, I don't have a clue what you're talking about. He's like, you know, the air filter. You know that, you know, it's for your, you know, AC unit and your heat and all that stuff. I'm like, I don't know. So Roger found it, and he's like, how long have you lived in this house? I said, 3 years. And so we took out that filter, and it was, you know, it was pretty bad, and it made pretty clear sense why I was paying hundreds and hundreds of dollars to PG&E, okay? Not having the right filter caused me a lot of heartache. It caused me a lot of problems. It cost me a lot of money to not have the right filter. And if you and I don't go into 2016 with the right filter, there's going to be problems. There's going to be issues. Have the right filter. And this is also a PSA. I had so many people at first service, I got to go home and check my filter. I haven't checked my filter in weeks. So go home and check your filters. But don't just check your filters at home. Check the filter of your heart. What are you filtering your life's choices and decisions through? Is it just, hey, what's everybody else doing? I'm going to go along with the crowd. Here's the prevailing trend. Here's what the culture is moving toward. So I'm going to do that. That is not wisdom from below. Above, that is wisdom from below. Well, if it feels good, then I'm going to do it. I'm going to use my senses to determine what I'm going to do. It's going to get you into trouble. Wrong filter, because that is going to open yourself up to then that dark, devious place where the enemy wants to come in and really cause you a lot of problems. My prayer for you, my prayer for me, my prayer for our church, let's have the right filter. Not wisdom from the world, but wisdom from the Word, which we'll talk about next week. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the time together this morning. Lord, give us an understanding of the kind of filter we need to have. We're bombarded, Lord. We're bombarded with life day after day after day. Situations with our spouses, situations with our kids, situations on the job and with other relationships, our finances and the way we manage our time. And Father, so many of us don't have the right filter. We're looking at these situations, we're evaluating these situations with all the wrong lenses. So Father, I pray for help, I pray for strength, I pray for wisdom from above. Not from below, not from this world. Lord, help us to be countercultural as we seek to lead our lives and lead our families and lead this church into the year 2016. Father, bless and encourage each one, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.